Hello, and welcome to Bodyholic with Dee, episode number one. A word about the host. My name is Dee Katz Shahar, and I am a public health promoter. I attained my MPH from Tel Aviv University on the research track. I'm a fitness trainer with over 17 years of experience, and I hold specializations in corrective exercise, women's fitness, and Pilates. Thank you for joining me for the very first episode of this science-based podcast that is entirely devoted to your health and your well-being. Today's episode is devoted to both eating healthily and sustainably. I'm going to cover the statistics with which I believe we should all become familiar. We will discuss the science-based recommendations for sustainable eating on an individual level, and then we will discuss what it means on a larger scale. Today's episode's goal is to provide a basic understanding of what it means to eat sustainably and hopefully provide tools to help us at least get started. So as we briefly mentioned, two aspects are being studied closely. The first is that we need to eat more healthily. And we also need to eat more sustainably. Let's take a moment to discuss why these two aspects are so crucial right now. But before I get into that, I want to give you the main source of information for today's episode so as to give credit where credit is due, obviously, but also to emphasize the serious urgency of the matter. So 37 leading scientists from all over the world have come together and they make up the Eat Lancet Commission. They do the research and provide integral reports that attempt to answer the urgent question of how are we going to feed 10 billion people a healthy diet that will also adhere to the planetary needs and boundaries. Why 10 billion? Because we expect 10 billion people to be living and eating on planet Earth by the year 2050. And why is that such an issue? Well, because food production tasks the planet greatly. Here is a direct quote from the commission. The universal adoption of planetary health would help avoid severe environmental degradation and prevent approximately 11 million human deaths annually. That's from the Eat Lancet Commission. So some cold, super important stats. Besides the fact that we expect the global population to rise to about 10 billion people by 2050, we also expect more than 6.5 billion people globally to live in urban spaces, which is going to seriously task the environment. Now, the global food production accounts for about 30% of greenhouse gas emissions and also for about 40% of the use of land. So the minds of Eat Lancet Commission deeply studied and researched what an individual diet looks like that is truly sustainable. Now, I would like to take a moment and point out something very important. A healthy diet is not precisely the same thing as a sustainable diet. In some cases, we see that the food themselves are not actually the problem, but rather the way these foods are produced. An example is that 60% of the fish are fully fished or overfished. Overfished refers to fishing a species to the point that that species is fully removed from a certain body of water. For the purpose of keeping this episode very focused, we will discuss, or rather steer clear of adding and describing more examples of the environmental harm. And we're going to focus a little bit more on what we can do to get to work on that sustainable diet of ours. So the commission says that we are basically talking about less meat, less dairy, and fewer potatoes. Again, we're not going to get too deep into this, but the potatoes necessitate more pesticides than any other produce by weight. And so less potatoes and a lot more plants. So if you want to get really serious about sustainable eating, then you need to shift to consuming a bunch of nuts, seeds, and legumes. Your plate would look something like this. Nearly 50% would be devoted to fruits and veggies, and then the rest of the plate would look like the following. Whole grains, mostly, nuts, plant proteins, and then some starchy veg, a tiny bit of meat, a tiny bit of dairy, and plant oils, and if you must, a tad of added sugar. We're talking about 2,500 calories a day. And if we look at the week, that's about one egg a week and one glass of milk a week. That's half the meat the average person would normally consume and double the veg, but not for the average North American. The typical North American would need to eat 84% less red meat and 6 times more beans and lentils. So that's quite the challenge. I would aim for baby steps in that case, like adhering to the meatless Mondays, right? Remember when that was a big fad? So that can be that first baby step we take. Now, we also have to look at packaging. That's a factor. Like, what's better for the environment? Is it plastic or is it glass? You're probably thinking plastic, but what about the transport? Plastic is lighter, way more than glass. So the transport might be better for the environment than glass. Buying locally and seasonally reduces the transport. Food waste is also a huge issue. Can we start composts rather than throwing leftovers away? Now, with urban living on the rise, should the markets consider vertical farming? Check out the company InFarm to learn more about that. It's pretty awesome. Basically, they grow in-house and sell the produce that they grow. Now remember, we have 10 billion mouths to feed pretty soon, so we really have to get started and do something about it. It starts with our plate. Yep, your plate at home. And I know it sounds cliche and that's totally okay, but think about how all the plates add up. Thank you so much for joining me in today's short discussion. I am Dikas Shachar and would love to hear from you on the Bodyholic Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or the site at www.bodyholic.fit. I read everything and respond personally, so please forgive me if it does take me some time to answer. Stay active, stay healthy. You've got this.